السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Inshallah, today we will commence the tafsir of Surah Al-Qalam, the pen. And this is Surah 68. Surah Al-Qalam is a Makki surah. A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Noon wal qalami wa ma yasturun. Translation: Noon, by the pen, and what the write. The connection of this surah with the previous surah. As we all know, that the previous surah is Surah Mulk. Now, in Surah Mulk, the main topics that have been discussed, number one is Tawheed, number two, the reward, compensation on the amal that a person takes. So we spoke about that in Surah Mulk. And a side topic that was not the main topic in Surah Mulk was a Risala, Nabi Akram Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam being the final prophet. So the topics that were discussed mostly in Surah Mulk was the topic of Allah Almighty and Dalail, proves to prove that Allah does exist. In Surah Al-Qalam, and the second name of this Surah is Surah Noon. So one name is Surah Noon, second name is Surah Al-Qalam. And both these names can be found in the first verse of this Surah. The topic that is to be discussed in this Surah is Risalat. So most of the verses are a rebut to the criticism and the objections that the non-believers had in relation to Nabi Akram Muhammad being the Nabi of Allah Almighty. So that is the main topic discussed. So these are dalail pertaining to Risala. And then at the end of this surah, Allah is going to make mention of Hazrat Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam. And we have studied the story of Hazrat Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam, the prophet that was swallowed by the whale, in Surah Yunus. As we all know, that Hazrat Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam made ijtihad at a certain time, and he left his community believing that his community will be punished. This ijtihad was not accepted by Allah Almighty. So the whale swallowed Hazrat Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam. When Hazrat Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam came out of this ordeal alive and he returned back to his town, he thought that his town would have been destroyed and people would have been killed in that divine scourge. But to his amazement, he found that his people were still alive. So the ijtihad to leave his people at that time was not right. The decision of Hazrat Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam was premature, as we made mention in Surah Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam, Surah Yunus. So at the end of this surah, Allah makes mention of Hazrat Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam. In a subtle manner, Allah is saying to Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wasalam, remain steadfast, be patient. Wait for the order of Allah Almighty. Everything will fall into place. Make sense? Alright. Now, Allah Almighty starts the surah with the letter Noon. Now, Noon is one of the haruf that are known as muqatta'at, isolated letters. So there are isolated letters in the glorious Quran. Many, many surahs start with these isolated letters. For example, Alif, Lam, Mim, Alif, Lam, Ra, Kaf, Ha, Ya, Ain, Saad, so on and so forth. Noon is one of these isolated letters. Now, in regards to these isolated letters, there are two opinions amongst the experts of the Quran, the theologians. One opinion is that these, the deep meaning or the meaning of these isolated letters are a mystery. This is a mystery. And it is only known to Allah Almighty, and He has not shared that with anyone else. So there is no use in investigating the deep meaning of these letters, because it is a mystery. It lies with Allah. It is a secret. The second group of scholars are of this opinion that this mystery was shared with Nabi Akram Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So if it was shared with him, then we can investigate. We can investigate. We may reach the exact meaning, and there's a probability that we make a mistake in our research. So according to the opinion of the letter group, the scholars have said that the meaning of noon, the first meaning of noon, is made mention in the glorious Quran. So I will give you the reference. If we go to Surat Anbiya, now Surat Anbiya is the 21st Surat of the glorious Quran, and we'll go to verse 87. Surat Anbiya, verse 87. Allah Almighty says, wa dhan nuni idh dhahaba mughadiban. And remember the noon, Jonah, Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam. So wa dhan nuni, the letter made mention, or the word is noon, and this is a reference to Jonah, Hazrat Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam. And Allah explicitly makes mention of Hazrat Yunus alayhi salam at the end of the surah, of Surat Al-Qalam. So many experts are of this opinion that noon is a reference to Jonah, Hazrat Yunus alayhi salam, number one. Second opinion is that noon in Arabic is used for an inkpot. Inkpot. So in the old days they used to have an inkpot. So noon is known as an inkpot. As we know that the second word of this first ayat is qalam, pen. And a pen is not used without an inkpot. So noon, the letter in Arabic, in traditional Arabic, is used for the inkpot. So these are the two meanings of noon. Alright. Mashallah. Now, in regards to this surah, when was it received by Nabi Akram Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? So there's interesting history behind that. Scholars are unanimous that the first surah, or the first revelation that Nabi Akram Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam received, was Surat Alaq. So Nabi Akram Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam received Surat Alaq. Immediately after receiving Surat Alaq, Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam received Surah Fatiha. So what is unanimous? That Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam received Surat Alaq. After that, it is not unanimous, but it is understood by many theologians that immediately after receiving Surat Alaq, Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam received Surat Fatiha, the first Surat of the glorious Quran. And when he received Surat Fatiha, at that time he was taught how to make ablution, number one, and how to pray. Keep that in mind. So after receiving Surat Alaq, he received Surat Fatiha. And with receiving Surat Fatiha, he is taught how to make ablution and how to pray Salah. Then the revelation that takes place after that is the opening verses of Surat Al-Muzzammil. Ya ayyuhal muzzammil. And after that revelation, the revelation that Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam received was Surat Qalam. Noon wal Qalam. So if we take Surat Fatiha as an isolated revelation, then Surat Al Qalam is the fourth revelation. But if we take Surat Alaq and Surah Fatiha as a collective revelation, and then Surah Qalam is the third revelation. Because the time frame between receiving Surah Alaq and Surah Fatiha was so short, many scholars consider it to be one. And other scholars, they consider it to be two revelations. So we can take whichever opinion. It can be that Surah Qalam is the third revelation after Surah Muzammil, or we can consider it to be the fourth revelation after Surah Muzammil. But from this we can understand it was in the initial stages of Nabi Kareem Muhammad's Nabuwat that he received Surah Qalam. So it is a Makki Surah. No, not in full. Bit by bit, but not in full. Not even Surah Al-Muzammil was in full. Yeah. Not even Surah Alaq was in full. But these verses, they were received by Nabi Akri Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Surah An'am. Surah An'am. And other surahs as well. Surah Idha Ja'a Nasrullah. There are many. I can research on that. But there have been surahs that have been received by Nabi Akram Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The longest revelation that Nabi Akram Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam received in one go is Surah An'am. Surah number 6. That is the longest revelation. Anyway. Now, as I made mention that after receiving Surah Alaq, Nabi Akram Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam received Surah Fatiha. And with Surah Fatiha, he was taught ablution and Salah. So Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he led the prayer. We're going to connect this, and that's what you will understand why Allah makes mention of what He has made mention in the opening verses of Surah Qalam. So Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam led the prayer. His muqtadis that prayed with him was Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq, Umm al-Mu'mineen Hazrat Khatija, his wife, his adopted son, Zayd, that Allah has spoken about in Surah Ahzab, Surah 33, and the freed lady whose name was Umme Ayman. She was the slave of Nabi Kareem Muhammad's father, Abdullah. But eventually she was freed and she took care of Nabi Kareem Muhammad. Later on, when Nabi Kareem Muhammad became the Prophet, he used to treat Umme Ayman like his mother. He used to give her that respect, Umme Ayman. And then the young child, Hazrat Ali, radiallahu ta'ala, they were the first muqtadis of Imam al-Anbiya. Now, the people of Makkah, they were familiar with Salah. They were familiar with a kind of ablution. They were familiar with rituals, because they had that link with Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. 400 years before the arrival of Nabi Akram Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the people of Makkah, they were Unitarians, they were Muwahidun. 400 years before the arrival of Nabi Akram Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, they were Muwahidun, they were Unitarians. There was a person by the name of Amr bin Luhay. Amr bin Luhay, who went to a foreign country where people were idolaters, and he brought different practices of this community to Makkatul Mukarramah. And in 400 years, the people of Makkah had forgotten who Allah was, and they had reached a level of shirk that there were 360 idols in the haram. So he was the one that introduced shirk into Arabia, Amr bin Luhay. The scholars have said that despite the distortion and the change of Millat Ibrahim and the religion of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, there were one or two people that still were Unitarians. And one name that has been made mention is Warqa bin Nawfal. He was still a Unitarian. And he was a monk, and he had studied the previous books, so much so that when Hazrat Khatijatul Kubra radiallahu ta'ala anha, she was given comfort to the Nabi of Allah after receiving first revelation, Hazrat Khatija took Nabi Akrima Masasalam to Warqa bin Nawfal, and after listening to what the Nabi of Allah experienced, the conclusion, the diagnosis of Warqa bin Nawfal was that you are the final prophet. He had that understanding, that insight and foresight. He had that understanding that you are the prophet and people will throw you out of Makkatul Mukarramah, and if I am alive at that time, I will support you. That was one person. There was another person, and I would like you to remember his name, that he remained upon Tawheed, monotheism, despite all the shirk that was apparent and widespread. His name was Zayd. Right? Zayd bin Amr bin Nufail. So this was another person. His name was Zayd bin Amr bin Nufail. He was another person that remained on the right path. His instinct guided him to keep away from shirk. He not only kept away from shirk, in the haram when people used to worship the idols, he used to sit in such a manner that his back used to be leaning towards the Kaaba. And he used to look at the people and he used to feel pain in his heart that what are people doing? This is wrong. And he had such a clear understanding that when people used to sacrifice animals in the names of idols, he did not eat that meat. He knew it was wrong. Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam, before being commissioned as a prophet, did not eat the meat sacrificed by the mushrikun in the name of Lat, Uzza and Manat. Yes, if they sacrifice in the name of Allah, he used to consume it. So Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam had that understanding as well. Now, there is a person. Now, remember, who's that second person? Zayd bin Amr bin Nufail. Remember this name, because his child is the Ashra Mubashara. His child. There's a Sahabi by the name of Hazrat Sa'id, who's the Ashra Mubashara. Have you read him? His name is Sa'id bin Zayd. This Sa'id, who is from the Ashra Mubashara, is the son of Zayd bin Amr bin Nufail. So you can see that that Imani blood, I can say, that was running through the veins of Zayd bin Amr bin Nufail was transferred to his son. And his son took it to another level where he heard in his own lifetime that he is from Jannah. So those 10 people that have been made mention in one sitting, one of them is Hazrat Sa'id, who is the son of Zayd bin Amr bin Nufail. Anyway, now, these people, when they found Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam leading this prayer in this certain manner that they had never ever experienced before, it was very odd for them. It was very, very odd for them. So they started to mock the Nabi of Allah. They started to call him Majnoon, an insane person, a demented person. They said, what is this? What is he doing? Standing. They were familiar with a kind of prayer, but it was distorted because of Amr bin Luhay. They knew about washing yourself, but they didn't have that complete understanding. So when Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam started to pray after receiving Surat Fatiha, they started to mock the Nabi of Allah. They called him different names, ill names. They said that he's crazy, he's insane, he's demented, so on and so forth. In addition to that, Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he used to receive revelation, there was a physical change in his body. So this was one, you know, when he used to receive revelation, physical change. He used to become pale, sometimes red, sometimes he used to snore, sometimes he used to drop his head. But after this revelation was completed and he came out of that trance, he used to recite revelation to the people. The people of Makkah could not perceive, could not fathom and understand this episode of receiving revelation, so they used to call him crazy. What is this? They used to call him crazy. In addition to that, when Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to say that this message that I have brought, that has come from above, and it is divine, and it orders you to keep away from insensate, you can say, objects, inanimate, you know, objects, lifeless objects, keep away from them, don't worship them, they can't benefit you, they can't harm you, so on and so forth. And keep in mind, my message is going to widespread. People throughout the entire world are going to accept what I am saying. They could not fathom this, and they said he's a mad person. He's a demented person. This is the shan and nuzul of all this. So Allah Rabbul Izzah sent down these verses. And let's read from the Quran. Alright. Noon wal qalami wa ma yasturoon. Noon. So we have made mention, noon can mean two things. First of all, it's an isolated letter. The true exact meaning is only known by Allah Almighty, according to one understanding, by Allah Almighty and the Nabi of Allah. So we can only make a research. Many scholars say we should not even investigate. But those that have made a research, they've come to this understanding. There's a possibility of two meanings. One is that it is an ink pot. And the second is noon is Jonah. As a Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam. Wal qalami wa ma yasturoon. By the pen and what the pen write. Now we have to discuss this, first of all, because this is the object of oath. Allah takes an oath. So, waw, wal qalam, waw is a particle of oath. Now there are different letters of oath in Arabic. For example, wallahi, waw. Billahi, ba. Tallahi, ta. Uqsimu, an entire verb. So there are letters of oath and there are words of oath. You will have same in Malaysian language. In Urdu they say Khuda ki qasam, Allah ki qasam. These are certain words used to take an oath. Now Allah takes an oath of in this ayat of wal qalam, the pen. Now how many kinds of pens are there? So number one, keep in mind, there are three kinds of pens. The pen of destiny. The first qalam is known as the qalam of destiny. Number two, the pen of angels. Kiraman katibin ya'lamuna ma tafa'alun. The noble scribes, the noble writers. They know what you do and they write down. And the pen of human beings. The pen of human beings. Now in this ayat Allah says noon and by the pen. Now this pen is a reference to which pen? Number one, number two, number three. So the scholars say it can be inclusive to all. It can be any kind of pen. It can be the pen of destinies. It can be the pen of angels. It can be the pen of normal human beings. It can be any of them. It can be all of them. It can be all of them. This opinion is the most inclusive. Many scholars say no. Allah has taken the oath of a pen. And that pen has to be at a level that deserves to be the object of oath. And that is the pen of destinies. It is the pen of destinies. Because it has been said in a hadith that when Allah, you know, decided to create this entire universe. 50,000 years before Allah created the pen. كَتَبَ اللَّهُ مَقَادِيرَ الْخَلَائِقِ كَتَبَ اللَّهُ مَقَادِيرَ الْخَلَائِقِ قَبْلَ أَن يَخْلُقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ بِخَمْسِينَ أَلْفَ سَنَةٍ. Before creating the heaven and the earth, and stipulated time, 50,000 years before creating the heaven and the earth, Allah wrote down whatever is to transpire, how the future is going to unfold. So it has been in the hadith that Allah created the qalam first, the qalam of destinies. And Allah Almighty said to this qalam, Uktum ma kan wa ma yakun. Write. So the qalam said to Allah, what should I write? And Allah said, write everything that is going to happen till the last day. So in reality, this qalam of destiny is dictated by the knowledge of Allah. That's the best way to say it. This qalam of Allah, and I made mention before that Allah is not limited to time. He is the creator of time. He can see what unfolds in time, what time captures. Because Allah sits above time, not in time, but above time. Because time is makhluq, the creation of Allah. What is happening right now, up here, outside, it is happening in the theater of time. But Allah sits above that time. So Allah created the qalam that is above. And then Allah says to the qalam, you can see everything. Write. So Allah dictated the qalam to write everything. And this dictation is based upon the knowledge of Allah Almighty. So this is the pen of destinies. Everything that is going to happen. So much so that the Nabi of Allah says that when the child is in the womb of the mother, certain matters are decided, predestined. If he's going to be a boy or if he's or a girl, good, wretched, what he's going to do in life, how much sustenance he's going to collect, so on and so forth. This is all made mention. This is already documented in the preserved tablets, dictated by the knowledge of Allah with the qalam of destinies. Now, a second opinion is that Allah first of all created the qalam of destinies, and then after that He gave a qalam to the human beings. And Allah has made mention of that qalam, that pen, explicitly in Surah 96, Surah Alaq, verse number 4. Allama bil qalam. This is the qalam of human beings. And as we know that many wars, many battles, many endeavors reach success through the power of the qalam. Human qalam, I'm talking about human pen. One country has a negotiation with another country to finalize. It is that signature, that tawqi', that signature, to sign off on the product, to sign off on the agreement. So you can see that there is a lot of power that has been manifested, that has been granted to the qalam. So even if we take the qalam to be the qalam of human beings, it is compatible and befitting with the qasam, the subject or the object of qasam. That's why many scholars say it's inclusive. And then the third qalam is of course the angels, that are the scribes that write down everything that we do from our inception till death. Alright. Now, Allah Almighty says, Noon, by the pen and what the pen writes. Next verse, مَا أَنْتَ بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ بِمَجْنُونَ. Now you will understand. You are not by the grace of your Lord a madman. I made mention just a few moments ago, the people of Makkah dubbed Nabi Akrim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, named him as a mad person, a demented person, because of receiving revelation, or by the method in which he was praying, or by the message itself that he used to relate. They couldn't understand and fathom how will this message gain momentum. So they said he's a mad person. Na'udhu billah. So Allah Rabbul Izzat, first of all, He says, Noon wal qalam. Wa ma yasturun. And then He says that the Nabi of Allah is not a mad person. Now let's halt here for a split moment. In a subtle manner, Allah Almighty has used the qalam as a proof of the veracity of Nabi Akrim Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam not being a demented and a mad person. What does Allah say? I swear by the qalam and what it writes. From the inception of humanity till today and to the final day, there are so many philosophers, there are so many wise people, there are so many writers that will write. Can anyone come up with a writing that comes close to the writing of Nabi Akrima Musa Sallam? And I'm making a reference to the Quran. Can anyone write about a person that has such a magnificent profile as Nabi Akrima Musa Sallam, who is an embodiment of perfection and a paragon of virtues? This is the meaning. This is another meaning that so many people will write. But can anyone write about a person in such a manner? So how can you say he's a mad person? Study what the Qalam has written. You will not come up with such a person that is an embodiment of perfection. وَمَا يَسْتُرُونَ مَا أَنْزَ بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ بِمَجْنُونَ He is not a mad person by the grace of Allah Almighty. So Allah Almighty substantiates that he is not a demented person, na'udhu billah, or a mad person, because it is the grace of Allah Almighty. Allah has kept him on the right path. So if he is saying something that you cannot fathom and understand, do not challenge his credentials and his profile. Study yourself, because you are demented and you are crazy not to understand the veracity, the profound message of Nabi Kareem Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Next, wa inna laka la ajran ghayra mamnoon, and verily for you will be an endless reward. Now, the objection is that he is a mad person. So Nabi Kareem Muhammad sallallahu is being defended here. His status is being defended here by Allah Almighty. And Allah Almighty, first of all, says that it is our grace that he is not a mad person, number one. And then Allah Almighty, how beautifully he says that his ajr will not cease. غَيْرْ مَمْنُونَ It will not cease. A mad person, his efforts are fruitless, useless, baseless. A mad person may say something, but people do not benefit from it. He's a mad person. His efforts will cease. They will become stagnant. Allah Almighty says, and how beautifully said, غَيْرُ مَمْنُونَ That this person that is speaking now, keep in mind you're calling him a demented person, a mad person, but his efforts will not cease. His mission will be widespread. It will make it to every corner of the world. His ajr, compensation for his efforts, is غَيْرُ مَمْنُونَ And a person whose efforts are غَيْرُ مَمْنُونَ can't be a crazy person. If we study the Nabi before Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, if somebody was to call him crazy or a demented person, he is foolish himself. That look, there are so many people in the world. Forget about the distorted form of their aqidah, but they still believe in Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. That means that he was a prolific personality. He was a marvelous personality. That he changed the heart of people, revolutionized the world. Until today, after his departure, 2,000 years after his departure, there are still people in the world that chant his name, that speak of him. Nabi Akrim Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that his name will echo throughout the entire world. His profile will be studied. His legacy will be studied. His achievements will be studied. People will give their life for him. People will study him. They will emulate him. They will mimic him. They will try to be like him. How can he be a mad person? A mad person's effort ceases. It ends. غَيْرُ مَمْنُونَ It will never ever end. This is the deep message of this part of the ayat. So much was achieved by the Nabi of Allah in a very short time, in 23 years. But even before, you call him a mad person, but even before being commissioned as a prophet, at the age of 35, the major event that took place in Makkatul Mukarrama, that is well documented and recorded, that once the people of Mecca had erected the Kaaba, there was a discussion that who will place the black stone in its place? Who will embed it in the corner? So there was a discussion, and the discussion took a wrong turn. And people vowed to take the life of other people in this discussion. So one wise person, he said that so much blood has been shed amongst tribes, amongst families. Why don't we decide this in a different way, in a different mode? The first person that will enter tomorrow, he will make a decision and we will all accept. We like it or we dislike it. So the following day, the first person to enter was Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we all know of the decision that he made. It was a decision that was beautified and adorned with wisdom, with inclusiveness. A decision that when it was made, all people, they said, Radina, Radina. What echoed? Radina, Radina, Raditu billahi rabban, Radina, we are all satisfied. And at the end of the day, Nabi Akrim with his Mubarak hands, he placed the stone into the wall. But everyone was happy with the decision. This is the hikmat, this is the wisdom of Nabi Akrim Muhammad. And how can a person with such wisdom, foresight, insight, be a demented person? And after Nabuwa, the wisdom of a person reaches a new level. Let me halt here now. Insan is an insan. We are born as human beings. We are born as human beings. The scholars say that at the time of departure, when the soul is extracted from the body, the status of this human being will be one of two. One of two. He will be respected more than angels, or he will drop below the rank of animals. So it has been said, when a person makes the right effort, because deen, Islam, elevates you from the station of an average human being and places you above the rank of angels. That's what Islam does. Now, what did the angel say? I'm going to tell you something deep today. What did the angel say when Allah decided to make Adam alayhi salatu wasalam? That has been documented in the Quran in Surah Al-Baqarah. They said, Ya Allah, why are you making the human being? Why are you replacing the species, you know, the jinnat? We have experienced and observed with the jinnat that they cause bloodshed. One of the things that the angel stipulated, highlighted, pinpointed, was bloodshed. They had no feelings, no respect for each other. They murdered their own kind. You're making an insan that will do exactly the same, that will mimic the practices of the jinnat. Allah says, no, I'll give them an ilm. Through ilm, they will be elevated, they will be greater than the species that they are replacing. Meaning that ilm will take a person to a level where the angels made an objection. Insan, if he takes that ilm, that was the hallmark of his greatness, if that person takes that ilm, it will take him above the angels' understanding where they cannot make an objection. Now you look at it. What is human beings doing throughout the entire world? Bloodshed. Exactly what the angel said. Meaning that we were there as human beings. And if we have not taken that ilm properly, the true meaning of that ilm, then what is going to happen? We're going to drop below insan and place ourselves with the wretched jinnat. Wretched jinnat. And what happened with the wretched jinnat? Allah replaced them. But before replacing them, did Allah say, get out, go and find a new shelter? No. Angels were sent down to give them a good hiding, a good flogging, a good beating. Many of them were killed by the angels. The only angels, jinnat, that remain, that are humongous and large in number are those that survived that beating of the angels. We have to link all this. Insan has dropped below that level of insaniyat. If that ilm that would have taken us above that level of malaika, angelic world, if that ilm is taking us below insan, because we see that animals, they attack each other. We are different than animals. We don't attack. Allah has given us an intellect. Allah has given us a mind. That's why the Nabi of Allah says, فَإِنَّمَا عَلَيْكَ الْبِلَاغُ وَعَلَيْنَا الْحِسَابُ فَإِنَّمَا عَلَيْكَ الْبِلَاغُ وَعَلَيْنَا الْحِسَابُ Allah says, verily, upon you is preaching and upon us is retribution. You preach. You present your package. Present your package. I go to the supermarket. He presents the package. I don't like it. I don't have to accept it. He can't force it down my throat. He can't force me to buy the package. We are tradespeople. We are tradespeople of our deen. We present the package. This is our package. You know, one person, think about it. He's selling a mattress. Selling a mattress. I got a back pain. I got a back pain. When I go to the shop, and the person, he's selling mattresses. And I say, give me the best mattress. He says, this is the best mattress, this one. I said, do you use it? He says, this is the same mattress I have at home. I said, tell me the fazilat of this mattress, the good points. He reads out the fazilat of this mattress, fazail-e a'mal of the mattress. This, that. Ooh, very interesting. Just before I'm going to strike the deal, pay, I say to him, you have it at home? He says, yes. I said, how's your back? He said, terrible. I said, my back's terrible. Will I buy it? No, you're not going to buy it. Words are not good enough. We are the sellers of our deen. I'm saying deen is such and such, it's beautiful, it's this, it's got the solution of this, it's got the solution of this. He said, all right. These are the fazail of Islam. I'm ready to sign off and become a Muslim. But has it given you any solace? Has it given you tranquility? Has it eradicated your problems? No. Moves away. This is a package. We can't sell this package. Now what's going to happen is, you sell that package, you force it upon them, and they walk away. You haven't won the hearts. I just went to Alice Springs, and I just told you 2-3 weeks ago. It struck me. I met Aborigines there, John Muhammad, Stephen Umar. Aborigines. Asalaamu Alaikum. No salam. Asalaamu Alaikum. John Umar, Stephen Umar, Stephen Muhammad. You're a Muslim? No. What's your name? I said, Muhammad. He said, you stole my name. He's telling me. He said to me, you stole my name. They just know the names. They don't know the legacy, the meaning behind that name. They entered the fold of Islam. I don't know why, when. But the hearts were not captured. The bodies were captured. So many a times, you know, I give an example of my next door neighbor. I went to Pakistan, and some keen brothers in our masjid, they gave him da'wah, he accepted Islam. He doesn't know nothing about Islam. They said, Islam is beautiful. We have every Friday, we have curry. This was the da'wah, every Friday. When is your birthday? He said, tomorrow is my birthday. He said, big, big cheesecake shop, we bring for you, mashallah. Read the shahada. He said, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammad. What interested him was the cheesecake shop. What was interesting him is the curry. What was interesting him, the curry that will come from the imam's house. We stopped that. He said, I walk away from Islam. Captured the heart. We captured the stomach. We didn't capture the heart. And this is the problem. So Allah Almighty in these ayat, He is saying that the ajr of Nabi Akram Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam will not cease. This ilm that was given to the Nabi of Allah elevated the Nabi of Allah from a human being above the angelic world. And that's why when a person dies, what does the Nabi of Allah say? When inshallah you and me die, and our soul is extracted, and our soul will experience this, and we look up, and you look to the sky, and I'd just like you to depict this right now. There's going to be a red carpet. There's going to be a red carpet for us. And on both sides are going to be standing who? Angels. To honor us. And this standing on both sides, and where they're going to, you know, this is one angel and he holds us so like this. Looks mashallah. To the second, to the third, to the fourth. That's how the soul is going to be respected, with soft hands. You know, when we have a drum of zamzam, zamzam comes, said, Dr. Saab, mashallah. Dr. Saab takes it. Respect. That's how the soul is going to be elevated from hand to hand. Because the angels know that the discussion that took place at the inception of Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, we could not understand it. What Allah did understand was this, that ilm gave him that nobility, that dignity, that we have to respect him. He's greater than us. Now you look in the world, what's happening nowadays? This is what Allah Almighty is saying. Eh? This is a deep, deep message of this. So before Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, his hikmah, his wisdom, it solved so many problems. So many problems. These were the problems of those times. Think about it. After receiving revelation, that takes you to a different level, a different world of hikmah and wisdom. Before you are a fountain of wisdom, and after being commissioned as a prophet, you become the ocean of wisdom. And then that ocean is given, you know, little by little it is given to the Sahaba, and then from the Sahaba it is given to the world. Islam is the religion that solves problems. Nowadays, we have become the problem. Not solving the problem. Make sense? Very, very important. We can't sell the package right now. Anyway, next one. وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَىٰ خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ And verily you are on an exalted standard of character. Inshallah, we will speak about character next week in detail. But just for today, immediately Allah speaks about the akhlaq. First of all, Allah defends the honor of Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam by the qalam and by what the qalam has written and by what people have written. And then speaking about the efforts of the Nabi of Allah never to cease, the fruits that this religion will bear will be tremendous for many. And then Allah Almighty immediately starts to speak about the akhlaq of Nabi Akram Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Remember, there are two tools. There are two tools by which Islam spread throughout the entire world, by which we will gain glory and victory again in every dimension of life. One is aql. Through aql, a person attains ilm that has been spoken about. وَعَلَّمَ آدَمَ الْأَسْمَاءِ ilm. And second is akhlaq. So Allah speaks about ilm in the opening verses under qalam. And now Allah speaks about the second tool, and that is akhlaq. Now today I'm just going to highlight the three different levels, and inshallah we'll speak about akhlaq next week in detail. The ulama have made mention that basically, if we were to study akhlaq and conduct, and keep in mind, Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is the complete model for humanity when it comes to morals, ethics, so on and so forth. So he is the complete body. We'll speak about different dimensions next week. But the scholars have divided akhlaq into three levels. So first level, that is the entry level. Entry level. The bare minimum. It is known as, first of all, akhlaq is the plural of khuluq. Akhlaq is the plural of khuluq, and khuluq means conduct, character. The first level of conduct and akhlaq is akhlaq-e-hasan. Akhlaq-e-hasan. I'll define them in a minute. Second is akhlaq-e-kareem. Akhlaq-e-kareem. And the third level is akhlaq-e-azeem. So akhlaq-e-hasan, entry level. Akhlaq-e-kareem is the middle level. And akhlaq-e-azeem is the highest level. Now akhlaq-e-hasan. Hasan, the word means beautiful. Huh? Hasan and Hussein, beautiful, two roses. Akhlaq-e-hasan is the akhlaq that was demanded by the people that followed the Torah. It was the akhlaq that was demanded from the people that followed the Torah. There's a glimpse of that akhlaq in the Quran in Surah Ma'idah under the verse وَكَتَبْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ فِيهَا أَنَّ النَّفْسَ بِالنَّفْسِ وَالْعَيْنَ بِالْعَيْنِ وَالْأَنْفَ بِالْأَنْفِ وَالْأُذُنْ بِالْأُذُنْ وَالسِّنَّ بِالسِّنْ وَالْجُرُوحَ قِصَاصٍ. Loose translation of all this is that tit for tat. Tit for tat. Huh? Complete adl. Justice. So Dr. Fizzy says, Dr. Fizzy comes to me and he slaps me across the face. Now in the Torah, the akhlaq that was demanded is complete adl, tit for tat. So I slap him across the face too. He slaps me, one tooth falls out. I slap him, his one tooth falls out. This is akhlaq-e-hasan. It is allowed. So there's no forgiveness in this. There's no sacrifice in this. There's no well-wishing. So if he hurts me, I'm going to hurt you back. With the same intensity. Can't be more, can't, you know, it can be less, but no more. That is known as akhlaq-e-hasan. So Allah Almighty says to Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, Ya Ibrahim, Ya Khalili, Hassin khalqaqa. That, O Ibrahim, O my friend, Hassin, beautify your akhlaq. So the word Hassin has been, you know, stipulated. And that means complete adl, justice. But keep in mind, this is the bare minimum. If a person remains at this station, there's a possibility he will falter, because there's no room to slip. There's no room. It's just like the doctor says, you have to walk 20 minutes every day. Just say, you have to walk 20 minutes every day. And if you don't, you're going to have a heart attack. Let's just say, hypothetically. So he walks 20 minutes, 1 second on the watch. He's playing it very hard, you know. He's right on the edge. He should give some grace time, you know, 1 minute, 21 minutes, 22. No, he's 20 minutes, 1 second. So if he drops below that, heart attack. Done, he's gone. That is akhlaq-e-hasan. Nabi Akareem Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he makes mention that I have been sent to complete akhlaq-e-kareem. The words of our Nabi is بُعِثْتُ لِأُتَمِّمَ مَكَارِمَ الْأَخْلَاقِ. Makarim, Kareem. One of the names of Nabi Kareem is Kareem. Nabi Kareem is Kareem. Allah is Kareem as well. Nabi Kareem. So there are many attributive names that are used for other than Allah. So you don't have to place Abdu before them. So one of them is Kareem. Nabi Kareem is Kareem as well. And Kareem, the translation is noble. Kareem is noble. So Nabi Akareem Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, بُعِثْتُ لِأُتَمِّمَ مَكَارِمَ الْأَخْلَاقِ. I have only been sent to perfect noble character. Now this is the middle level. Now what does this imply? This implies the person to place himself at the station that if he drops below it, he's still in credit. These are my words. This is a station that if he places himself at this station and he drops below this station, keep in mind, akhlaq-i hasan, if he drops from that station, he becomes a zalim, a wrongdoer. But akhlaq-i kareem is that if he places himself at that station and he drops from that station to the next station, that is akhlaq-i hasan, he's still in credit, he's not zalim. And akhlaq-i kareem, deep meaning is to forgive. So if Dr. Fizzy Saab slaps me, I say, Dr. I forgive you. Nabi Kareem Muhammad SAW said, I came to complete bu'ithtu. I have come, bu'ithtu, I have been sent li'utammima, to complete this character. So this is the opening, because akhlaq-i hasan is for Hazrat Ibrahim and the Torah. We don't even start from there. Our starting point is not akhlaq-i hasan. Our starting point is akhlaq-i kareem. We forgive. So if somebody wrongs us, we forgive. This is our starting point. Remember, akhlaq-e kareem. Make sense? Sacrifice. They say, my no ego, I forgive you, brother. Third, akhlaq-e azeem. Wa innaka la'ala khuluqin azeem. Your exalted character. That is akhlaq-e azeem. And azeem is one of the attributive names of Allah. Azeem, great, exalted. And that is such that you can drop two levels and you're still in credit. Right? And you drop one level, you're in healthy credit. It'll take you a long time to drop down from akhlaq-i azeem to become a zalim. And what is akhlaq-i azeem? Akhlaq-i azeem has been captured, encapsulated in one of the statements of Nabi Akram Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sil man qata'ak wa'fu amman zalamaka. Wa ahsin ila man asa'a ilayk. This statement, profound statement of Nabi Akram Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, has encapsulated akhlaq-i azim. Allah grant me and you this akhlaq. This is the akhlaq that we need to prosper. Sil man qata'ak. Those that break ties with you, you go and tie ties with them. Somebody's pushing you away, you're hugging him. He pushes you, you hug him. Your wife is pushing you, you go and hug her. She pushes you, you push her. She pushes you two steps and you push her right under the ground. This is no akhlaq-i azeem. This is not even akhlaq-i hasan. This is not even akhlaq-i, not any level of akhlaq. If she pushes you, you have to push her to the same intensity, and you can't because you're a man, you're physically stronger. So you can't push. She swore at me, I swore back. This is, we hate the Yahudis, but we want to take their akhlaq. Hate the Yahudis. This is recorded. But we want to take their akhlaq. Our akhlaq starts from akhlaq-e kareem. We forgive. And I've seen, and it's amazing, those people that make a difference in our life, that are a part of our life, our children, our wife, our parents, we switch off with these people. No akhlaq with them. We're very good in our workplace. Person goes, how are you? Very akhlaq, big smile. Come home and all that akhlaq is gone. It's like akhlaq is for somebody else. And these people don't even, you know, they're not a part of our life. It's a superficial relationship. Those people that are so important in our life, they smile and their pain and their good and their bad and their health and their sickness directly affects me. I don't show them my akhlaq. I'm not talking about us, but generally this is what has happened. And that's why one of the signs of Qiyamah, what is it? In that very famous hadith that has been recorded by Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala, that people will be well-mannered with friends, but they will be rude with their father. This is the indication. They are so good with their friends. Their friends, if you tell them the friend, he's disrespecting his father. They say, what? Uzair? Imam Uzair disrespecting his father? No way, he's the best man. But the father says, you ask me, he's the most wretched person. Akhlaq-i azeem, sil man qata'aka. Those that break ties with you. And who's going to break ties? Those that are close to you. Those that you have a relationship. Try to understand the deep meaning. Those that have a relationship with you. We have a relationship. We are a family. There's one person outside, Mr. John. Islam, Ikhlaq-e-Azim does not even apply to him. I haven't got a relationship with him. The best I'm going to do is, good day mate, good morning, good afternoon. Salamun ala man ittaba'al huda. That's the best I'm going to do with him. The Prophet of Allah says, Sil man qataka. Those that break in ties with you, you go and establish a relationship with them. That is your wife, that is your children, that is your family member. وَعْفُ عَمَّنْ ظَلَمَكَ. And those that have made zulm with you, ظَلَم, wronged you, وَعْفُ, forgive. That is akhlaqe kareem. And then, the icing on the cake, that is a true representation of akhlaqe azeem, وَأَحْسِنْ إِلَى مَنْ أَسَاءَ إِلَيْكَ. Pinnacle. That not only forgive the person that has wronged you, because that is the true definition of akhlaqe kareem. Akhlaqe azeem is the exalted. It is one level above akhlaqe kareem. So the Nabi of Allah concludes by saying, "Wa ahsin ila man asa'a ilayk." This is the representation. Be good with those that wrong you. Not only by forgiving, because forgiveness has been made mention previously, but be good that not only forgive the person, but well wish him as well. Give him a gift. That's hard. Dr. Fizzy slaps me across the face. I said, I forgive you the $100.
Right?
By forgiving him, I win him, his heart. He said, what a good man, he forgave me. I shouldn't have done that. And then I say, Dr. Fizzy, do you like fragrance? He says, yes. Calvin Klein? Yes, I'll give you the Calvin Klein. Now I've got him. He's mine. He's mine. When they used to come to Nabi Akram Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, not only Assalamu Alaikum, Wa Alaikum Assalam, and he left no gifts. They used to abuse him. They used to criticize him. They used to mock him. He used to forgive and forget. And then after that, he, to the best of his ability, he used to give a gift. That is Akhlaqi Azeem, that exalted. Now, Akhlaqi Hasan doesn't need any, you know, sacrifice. Akhlaqi Kareem, there's a little bit of sacrifice of ego. But akhlaqi azeem is not only sacrifice, but it is a pure, a clean vessel that after experiencing wrongdoing, you still have the ability to keep your vessel clean. That is hard. It's going to be very hard for me to give you a gift. I can say, you know, superficially, people say, I forgive you. I forgive you, but never speak to me. I forgive you, but never come in my path. What kind of forgiveness is that? I forgive you, but you never come to my house. Superficial. But akhlaqi azeem is, I forgive you, and brother, you're still here. I give you my heart. Come to my house. I'm going to treat you like my brother. My vessel is empty. It is clean. I have no negative vibes towards you. This is akhlaqi azeem. And akhlaqi azeem cannot be attained until we address the issue of the heart, and that is a topic in itself. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.